Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from 2. And everything in between. I'm Tin, and look, I'm very sorry, listeners, but I'm just on the phone here at the minute, actually, so if you don't mind, I might just have to go. Honestly, this place has the worst hall music. Have a listen.
Eggs. Everybody really likes eggs. Why don't you keep thinking about eggs? Eggs and eggs. Eggs and eggs.
Yes, I'm calling Exciting Times. Do you know them? The shop for everything to do with eggs. It's just been the Easter weekend here, so I ordered a lot of eggs for Easter because that's what you have to do, right? You know, it's Easter, so you've got to make a big bowl of scrambled eggs so all your friends and family can gather round and try to unscramble them using all their fingers and hands to put bits of scrambled eggs together, try and work out the code. You've got to make fried eggs so you can let them cool down and put them on your face and pretend you've got big egg eyes. You've got to have poached eggs, which actually you have to steal from someone else, I think. Coddled eggs, that's when you just hug an egg for a while. Omelettes, those are baby oms. I don't really know how you get those. And hard-boiled eggs, where you make eggs super tough and then you draw a little face on them and then everyone thinks they're a tiny, bald fuss pooper. Sorry, I mean grown-up. And then everyone says Happy Easter to you and your tiny, bald fuss pooper. And then I say, oh, actually, his name is Captain Jeff. And then everyone talks to him thinking he's a real guest when actually he's just an egg. It is amazing. But
everybody really likes eggs, especially if their name is Greg or Beck. Oh yeah, eggs.
No, I'm still on hold. Sadly, I did this big order of eggs, right? But instead of a big order of eggs, I just got sent an order of one big egg. And it's huge. So huge I can't even really fit in Comedy Club for Kids HQ anymore. I'm having to record this through the window. So I'm trying to complain to see if Exciting Times can take it away and get me the 278 eggs I actually asked for. Oh, wait!
Thank you for calling Exciting Times. We are hard to beat. Sorry to keep you waiting. We are not ignoring you and we don't like to yoke our customers about. So we will be with you egg soon.
Egg soon? That's not even a pun. Ugh. Unlike this excellent joke that has been sent in this week by Anonymous. Why don't elephants use computers? Because they're scared of the mouse. I love it. Thanks, Anonymous, for sending that in. That is brilliant. I'm also really curious, right? Elephants obviously can't use computers. But when mice read to use a computer, then they must get very baffled by having to click a mouse. Maybe they just try to press their own heads and wonder why it doesn't work. That must get very confusing. And probably exactly why mice don't use computers either. If you have a joke that you would like to send in, or you have a question that you need to have answered, or you want to send in anything else at all, please do ask your fuss poopers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclub4kids.co.uk or message me on the Spotify Q&A. If those same grown-ups want to support this show and me buying more eggs, then they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for a small fee on Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus, or patreon.com/comedyclubforkids, where you'll get a link to listen to it on Spotify. If you haven't heard the episode from a few weeks ago with Emily Jane Clark, do please tune into that so you can hear a way to win a bundle of her Beasts of Knobbly Bottom books, as there is only a couple more weeks to enter that. Oh, and did you know I do another podcast too? Here is a little advert about it. Are you mystified by mysteries?
Or can you crack the craziest cases?
We're looking for chief detectives to join us on our investigations into some of the strangest stories from around the world.
We'll analyse aliens, look for the Loch Ness Monster and hunt out curses. We'll present you with the best evidence and the most interesting facts.
And then it'll be up to you to decide and tell us what you think.
Will you be a myth-buster like me?
Or a myth-truster like me?
If you want to be our chief detective, join us on Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. Every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all other places you listen to podcasts.
Oh, maybe on Bust or Trust we need to investigate why this egg shop won't answer the phone. Well, while I wait to get through, you have a listen to this most egg-portentous bit.
This is the egg's first line of defence.
I am very excited that on Radio Nonsense today, it's none other than Katie Mitchell, a.k.a. Katie Katie, the only person who can make any situation more ice-skatey, a.k.a. Katie Mitz, governor of all the nits, and as all of our listeners who live in seashells will know you, whoosh, but of course, Katie, you are very well known for your global tour, where you would read out all the road signs in a dramatic voice, for successfully creating the world's first yoghurt with dead bacteria instead of live, and most famously, for the time you revealed that the head of the United Nations had been kidnapped and been replaced with a wild boar in a wig. Katie, it's just a joy to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm actually in a handmade knit right now, so I am the queen of all the knits, as you said.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So is knitting as in sort of woolen things? What about the small little insects, the knits? Are you governor of them? Do you cover all knit-based things or just material?
I forgot about knits as in headlights, and I was thinking, how on earth would I make something so small to go on a bee's foot? They're already fluffy anyway. I don't know if they need it. You could get very, very thin needles. And spider silk is supposed to be stronger than steel. So you could actually make tiny little chainmail for insects. Which would be good, because I know some people like to squash them with, you know, rolled up newspaper because they're scared of spiders or something. It could be quite nice to make tiny little suits of, like, knitted armour for them. They've not done anything wrong. They're just in the house.
Firstly, I would like to see insects wearing small amounts of chainmail. I'd love it if someone tried to tread on an ant and all you heard was clang, and then their foot was like, ah, my foot! And the ant's so mighty. But you've raised, like, spiders, when they're, like, getting their prey or whatever, when they've got a little fly in their web, they wrap it up in spider silk, and everyone's like, oh, no, the poor fly. But essentially, the spider's just given it amazing armour.
Yeah, it's an amazing armour that they can't get out of, only the spider can get into.
Yes, yeah. Maybe it's a work in progress. Maybe those spiders are like, I know I'm missing something, and then eventually they'll realise they need little bits for the legs and legs and wings so it can move. You know, you've got to start. It can't be easy being a spider armourer when you haven't. Like, I don't know how much armour spiders see, so maybe they don't have a lot to base it on.
I was listening to your last episode and you have the ongoing, like, worst superhero powers competition,
don't you?
Yeah. I think Fly Man, who is completely impenetrable but can't move, is a terrible superhero. Like, he'll be fine, but the rest of the world, not so much. The world-saving capabilities aren't great.
He'd have to be, like, captured Fly Man, armoured Fly Man. And either way, all he'd be able to really do is spot where dog poo was. And be sick on your food.
Can't even find his way out of a window, can he? It's useless.
I feel a bit bad saying this because I am someone who likes creatures, but flies are rubbish. Flies are really rubbish.
Yeah, I do struggle with flies. I also am a big fan of animals, and I think insects get a really bad rap. I literally just got a gnat land on me, I think.
Wow.
Oh, no, it's a bit of fluff. Okay, never mind. But
I thought you'd done some magical, like, the... I thought it was coming to say its piece. Like, hey, listen up.
You what?
Yeah. But instead, it's the other type of knits. Well, this is back to the original question. Knits, not knits. It's like you're in charge of all the woolen knitting, not head lice knitting.
No, I love a knit. I've got about 3 jumpers on the go. I've got a load of handmade socks knitting socks is great because it's very boring and then it's too complicated and then it's very boring again. And it means you can knit the top of the sock and the body of the sock while you're watching TV and not really paying attention. And then the middle bit is actually really interesting.
So what's the middle? Is that like where the ankle, is that where the heel? Oh, the heel.
So
the heel, yeah.
Yeah. So you can either start at the toe or the upper cuff and then just slowly work your way down. But it's mainly 2 tubes with a bendy bit in the middle. And I'm a big fan of sock knitting.
Well, but, you know, I don't think many people, and I don't know how many of our listeners, when they're told, I bet listeners, many of them are told to put on their socks, like, rather than they will just put on their socks. If any of the listeners, like my daughter, they will not put on their socks as often as possible. But I bet no one realises they're putting on a feat of engineering. A feat of engineering feat when they put on a sock. That's amazing.
No. It's very good when you make them yourself and you know all of the work that's got in and then you wear it and then accidentally you'll tread on some ketchup or something in the kitchen and you'll go, no, my work. I never cared so much about laundry until I started making my own knitwear and now I want them to be perfect all the time.
Yeah, and that's hard. The ketchup does get about in the kitchen as well because you have to really sort of fling the bottle about to get the ketchup out.
Oh, yeah, especially if it's getting empty and then you'll go and then everywhere.
Yeah, except your chips, except where you want it to go. That's not really
perfectly around them, like an outline on a crime scene, just perfectly around.
It's such a badly designed condiment, but it's so good. It's not fair.
Oh, it is.
But you won't see mayonnaise pulling that trick. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not a mayonnaise girly. I prefer ketchup. That's my number one.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You just it's worth the difficulty, I think. I was gonna ask, would you ever sort of knit a suit of armour? Would you consider doing that?
Ooh. I think the question is how it would be, how I would make it strong enough. Because obviously the fibre would need to bend, but then to work as a suit of armour, it would need to be very hard. I wonder if there's something you could do with resin or maybe lots of hairspray. You know, I knit it and then just put too much hairspray on it and it will go all stiff and, like, things can ricochet off it.
That's interesting. But you say it has to be hard, but I think surely it depends on who you're protecting yourself from. Because if you're just protecting yourself from, like, the wind or cold weather, it could just be a lovely soft suit of armour.
Coat is the armour of the wind.
That's right. Well, like sheeps have natural wind armour. Doesn't sound right, does it? It sounds like you're protecting against farts. But sheep have got natural wind defence. So, yeah, it depends on what you were wearing the armour for.
To defend against. I think... Wool keeps you warm even when it's wet. So that would be a very good armor against wet things and cold things.
Yeah.
Which is a decent amount of the things. People, of course, are warm and dry, and so it's no good against people, but in terms of the elements.
Yeah.
And they can be very scary.
It could be quite good. I suppose in the downside would be if, while defending yourself against wind and rain, you were attacked by moths.
Oh, that is a problem. In my wardrobe, I've got little handmade baggies of, like, herbs. Lavender is definitely in it. It's been a while since I made them, to keep all of the moths at bay because they don't like the smell.
Really?
But yeah. I don't even use that much wool. I'm just terrified of them eating my stuff. A couple of flats ago, I bought a secondhand rug, or had a secondhand rug given to me, actually, and didn't realise that it got moths in it, and they got all in our wardrobe. And I think I've been slightly traumatised ever since.
I don't blame you. I just didn't realise they didn't like sort of... Well, I know, like, you can get mothballs, which I thought were sort of for moth sports, but they're not. And then, but they don't like fragrant smells. So they must really like have a really bland. I suppose they do have a bland diet. They just eat wool, but you wouldn't see them having a curry
just
or anything.
Wool. No, just plain wool, which is the plain crackers of the insect world.
Yeah. So do you think you could? Because your bag of fragrance is a really good idea, but could you not just sort of cover all your clothes in different spices that you like, and you'd smell really fragrant, and the moths would keep away?
Just a little dab of peri-peri on each corner, like perfume. Just some more of the more like fancy fermented barbecue sauces, just, you know, a bit in each pocket, loose. Which is good because when you're out, you can dunk your chips in it and it'll keep the moths at bay.
I also think you'd be very popular. I think that as a smell, because people sometimes, if you wear like a nice perfume or eau de toilette, we'll say like, it's really hard not to say that like you're too fancy, you know?
Eau
de toilette. Even though you're saying toilet smells, right? But in French.
I've never got over that. I've always thought that's very funny.
O's water in French. So it's toilet water, isn't it?
Yeah.
The toilet.
Yeah.
I'm wearing toilet water.
That's not a stink that will keep moths away, but it will keep other people away.
Well, that's it. But then you wear peri-peri. A lot of people like peri-peri.
Yeah.
So it'll keep moths away, but surely it'll bring people to you going, that smells delicious.
Just like milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, yeah. All of the Nando's fans will come to me and go, ooh, you've gone for the medium level spicy, I see.
I think
interesting.
That's it. And I suppose because the spicier you go, it probably keeps not just moths away, but other, you know, you won't get attacked by a tiger or anything if you go for super extra spicy.
No, I don't think tigers are from India.
Oh yeah,
so
true. Yeah,
they might like a little bit, but
yeah,
you never know.
I mean, I also went. I just jumped from moths to tiger as though tigers at the end of that chain. I've probably got that very wrong. I'm not sure that's how it builds.
I suppose in the like animal food chain, there's lots of different things in between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's
mice.
It feels
foxes.
Because that's what bothers me about the food chain, though. I suppose lots of things would eat moths, and lots of things would eat things that eat moths. But moths just eat wool, and I feel like wool can't really defend itself. Hang on a second. Sorry, I've just thought about this. Why do you never see sheep getting attacked by moths?
I think they move too much. And,
right.
I think the real answer is that sheep produce this oil in their skin called lanolin. It's also very good for human skin. I'm a vegan. I'm doing a terrible advertisement for veganism right now. Here are all of the uses for sheep. it keeps their skin nice and soft, keeps the wool nice and soft, and it stops flies coming in and things
right.
eating the wool. But also they move around. I was going to say they have an unpleasant smell, but I don't really dislike the smell of sheep. They've got that livestock smell, but I like that. It makes me feel nostalgic. I think it's because I used to go to petting farms and stuff all the time when I was a kid. So when I smell a sheep or a cow, I'll go, oh, it's my friend from school.
That's nice. I was going to say they do have their own. We're talking about condiments and putting peri-peri on, but sheep have their own sheep dip, don't they? Which I think sort of changes.
They do. It's probably why farmers do that.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I it's nice. I like petting zoos. I'm always sad that in my head, I think that means you can leave with one as a pet, but you can't. They won't let you do that.
I always wanted a little baby pig as a pet. And I know they grow up to be too big, but I want one so badly,
Yeah.
even now. They're just so cute and pink, and they've got cute little snouts. They've got like the top snout of any animal. There, I'm saying it.
Wow.
It's a controversial podcast.
Wow. Big statement. That is a big statement. I'm trying to think of what else has snouts that would be up against, because I pigs are like really the snout you think of. You know, if you think of a
Yeah.
snout.
I mean, if you're thinking of good noses, you've got elephants, you've got tapirs, but I don't know if those are snouts. I think they're too long.
No, you get some little certain little moles have snouts, don't they? Some of the funny little moles.
Oh, have you seen the star-nosed moles?
Yeah.
Oh, now that, I mean, again, I don't know if I'd call that a snout, but it is an
No.
excellent nose.
It is good, isn't it? It is very good to have a little star on your nose. Pretty. I it's hard, but you see, like, I think you're like you say pigs are when people when the fact that when you say the word snout, everyone thinks of a pig.
Yeah.
That shows that they've already cornered that market.
Yeah, they've owned that completely.
They've done pretty well. They've done pretty well.
They're dominating the snout hashtag.
Well done, the pigs. I'm pleased for them. I'm pleased. I hope you do get a little pig pet, a piglet pig pet.
Oh.
I think they're, but when it grows up, there must be like, I still think it'd be quite useful to have a big grown up pig around the house. I feel like they could just sort of like, you wouldn't need to lock your door. You could just have a pig in front of it, and then no one would be able to get in. Or you could, you know, they're so big that I feel like they'd have other uses.
I live on my own, so actually having, I don't know, if I put the pig's food bowl next to the door, it would be another layer of safety for me, which made me feel nice and secure. I live in quite a small flat at the moment. I feel like I really should have a garden if I was going to have a pig.
That's true.
Although
Yeah.
going on long walks with a pig would be brilliant,
Yep.
because they get huge, they get really big, so you could put a little backpack on it, so when you go for a picnic, it could carry its pig food, and you could have your food on your back, and it would be really lovely.
Sounds great. I don't know why people don't have pigs as pets more often. I suppose you'd probably have to have like a room in your home that's just mud. That might be tricky.
Yeah,
Yeah.
a little pigsty outside. You
Yeah.
have to move where you keep the bins, but you know,
But
you
then
can make
like
room.
when and I'm sure this happens to our listeners a lot, when they get told off for coming in with muddy feet, it wouldn't matter if you had a pigsty at home, because it'd just be like, hooray, you're helping to decorate the pigsty room. You never have to wipe
Just
your feet.
going through a different pair of slippers a week, going, oh no, they're trashed again.
Sounds good. I think you sold the idea to me. I think more people should get on that with a pig guest. A pig guest? A pig pet? A pig? I suppose it is a pig guest because
Next
it lives in your
episode,
house.
pig
Yeah, pig
guest,
guest.
pig
Do you know
guest.
what? Right, I'm gonna. That's my dream. I'm gonna write this down. Radio Nuns is gonna get a pig guest. I don't know how we'll do it. I'll find a pig that wants to be on this show and can answer a question that's hopefully not about pigs to show that pigs really are intelligent.
I think they've got the same abilities as a 3-year-old, which
Yeah,
they're
no.
about as intelligent as dogs.
Right.
And you know, loads of podcasts have dog guests, so
That's true.
a pig guest I think would work.
That is true.
They're quite vocal as well. They've got good noises.
I'm going to think about it. I'm going to work out how to do it. I think I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how a pig would wear headphones or anything, or like how you'd put a mic next to it without it trying to eat the mic. That's my.
You'd have to do earbuds because the heads are too big for a normal headphone. But I think like AirPods or something, I think that could work.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's got to be a
I
way
feel like I'm
around.
forcing you down an avenue you don't want to go down. I'm like,
It's
no,
not that. No,
seriously.
I just, you know, I'm worried pigs won't want to, you know, I think a lot of farmyard animals get put off because they think comedy club for kids. They think kids is for baby goats, and they assume
Of course.
it's not for the farmyard animals they are. They think it's for baby goats only, and it's not. They sort of it's actually, you know, for children, human being children. So I'm worried that I'll approach a pig and they'll already have this kind of prejudice against the show.
Yeah, because there's a lot of rivalries in the farmyard over who's the best animal, who's the favorite animal.
Yeah. There is. And all this time spiders are weaving armour and, you know, and no one really gives them the credit. Venice, spiders weaved armour for farmyard animals. They could battle it out as to who's the best. And that's the film I want to see.
Yeah. Because you'd think cows would have the advantage, but if the other animals are armoured, then they can do sneaky manoeuvres and the chickens can fly.
Yeah.
And drop eggs.
If I can't get a pig as a guest on this show, I'm going to try and organise a farmyard tournament. And I feel it's what the... And you know, I say you're vegan, I'm vegetarian, so I feel like I wouldn't want to eat any of the animals, but I would very happily see them engage in armoured battle. I think
they're armoured, it's okay. Humane.
Exactly. I think morally that's a safe place to be. Katie, it's so lovely having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. I have a question that I need to ask you that's been sent in, and I think you are the expert that can answer it. Before I ask you this question, I'm afraid I do have two admin questions. How do you feel about admin questions?
I feel pretty good about admin questions. Mm-hmm. Is this one of the admin questions?
No, this is like a pre-admin question, which is confusing.
Oh, now we're
it?
Going down the line.
Oh, do you know, I didn't think about that. Do I need to make one of the official admin questions? How do you feel about admin questions?
Now, is this an admin question?
Oh, no. So now I need to have, how do you feel about admin questions? But how do you feel about the questioner? How do you feel about admin questions?
You're good about admin questions.
Okay, phew. This could have gone quite deep, and I'm slightly, you're making me rethink. You're making me rethink my guests. You're making me rethink the, not yourself. Obviously, I'm very glad you're here, but now I need to get a pig on the next show, and then, and the admin. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to have to spend, after we talk, I'm going to have to redraft Radio Nonsense, so it's only interviewing pigs and only asking questions about asking admin questions, and then we'll be in an ideal situation, I think. I've got two admin questions. So the first one, very simply, is what is this?
I think it is a rare gemstone of arcane design.
Wow. That's, I was going to put it in the bin.
Oh, no, don't do that. At least put it in some sort of dungeon or up a tower.
Right. Has it got any powers, or does it just look shiny and I'll only find out when trying to give it to an old man who might give me a quest?
I think it is the second one. Mm. Currently, it just looks a bit sparkly, and when you pick it up, it goes...
That's what that noise
is. In a very
is.
Magic-y way.
Yeah, I do. I was getting quite annoyed about that. I was trying to find out how I turned it down. But it doesn't seem to have a button, and it just shines and looks all sparkly, but there wasn't like a button to turn the noise down.
These wizards, they don't think of anything, do we? They spend too long like alone in their towers. They don't think about putting noise control, because if you're a wizard in the tower, who's going to complain? I don't know, trees, wolves, a crow. None of them care about the sound of a magical stone. But as soon as you get to city centre, you've got the neighbours banging on the walls.
It's one of the problems I have is that wizards refuse to modernise, you know, like they refuse to, you know, really, wizards are all about this old arcane magic. I'm going to curse your gemstone. I'm going to make a mirror tell you the future, but actually, or turn you into a toad or whatever. But actually, wizards, hook up with some engineers, maybe some software developers. You know, how about some magical apps? That's what I say.
Yeah. Nothing, you know, your phone has got all of human knowledge in the palm of your hand. That's more magical than having a stone that sings a little bit.
Yeah.
I can play any song. You need to up your game a little bit.
What, are there any sort of magical apps? I was trying to think, like, it'd be quite useful, like an app that could kind of like, do something magic, like detect how far away you are from a sandwich or something. Something that would be really... genuinely magic.
For me, I would just love it to be able to detect any lost item. I'd love to be able to Google, where have I put my headphones? Ugh. Or where have I lost like a few pence down the back of the sofa or something like that, and just be able to zero in on them.
That would be amazing.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, and genuinely useful. Really very useful. Yeah. I'd quite like it as well, that if you could point, this is less useful, but like maybe you could point your phone at a petting zoo and all the animals would get armor, you know, or like something.
Yeah.
If your phone could do some magic, that would be brilliant.
You're right. I've been thinking too practical. If your phone could do anything, if it incorporated magical gemstones, then I was going to say teleportation, but again, that's too practical.
It depends where you're teleporting to. It might not be very practical.
To the petting zoo. I want to see your animals. Anywhere in the world, that's where I want to be.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds.
You could teleport to the front of the queue at Alton Towers.
That would be good. Always to the top of the slide or something, like in a playground. You could just endlessly be top of the slide, go down it, back up the top. That would be quite useful.
Just have two ends of a portal at the top and the bottom, so you're just sliding constantly.
Slide forever.
Which would be good. It'd be good until the bum on your jeans wore out, and then it would get quite painful with all the friction. But and you'd have to kind of time rolling off the side just right. But until then, so much fun.
Be really good. But yes, you wouldn't want to sort of slide your bum off. That would be a horrific injury to have. Yeah. Maybe this is why wizards haven't got into phones. I mean, maybe this is the reason. Maybe they have, and it went so badly wrong that they had to go, let's just go back to gems, everyone.
Yeah, there's always the rare gemstones as well. Why can't it just be like normal rocks?
Yeah, you don't really sort of see them in shops, or you don't normally sort of see them in like a Sainsbury's, or it's just a collection of here's some enchanted rocks and
just have it nice, like a gravel driveway, and all of the rocks are slightly magical, and they'll like protect your car or something.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be nice if you could just sort of pick up different magical rocks for different, again, a bit like sort of apps, just different purposes. You just like. Yeah, one to protect your car. You can have one that will, I don't know, make your plants grow strange, or one that will, I don't know, just to freshen the smells in a room or something. You know, that'd be nice to have have them at B&Q, and you could just buy different. They can be really because that's the thing. You always have. There's always like quests to find magic rare gems, and there's always these quests. You always have to do things where you have to battle a monster or something, and then actually half the time it's like, this doesn't really do anything I need. Like, it protects me against fire, but I'm not going to go near a fire today anyway.
No, you know? I don't have gas.
Yeah.
Like, I never come into contact with flames.
Yeah, it's really rubbish.
I'm still going to burn myself on my induction hob. There's no use for me having that.
Yeah, maybe it's... And also, if you're really that careless, then you probably shouldn't go on a quest fighting a monster. I don't think it will go well for you on the way there.
Yeah, I thought about that. You can survive the quest, then you don't need the thing.
Yeah. Unless you're
it's not about being worthy. Maybe magical stones do have a consciousness, but they're just really lazy. Mm. If you can get to this point, then all they need to do is just sit there, and occasionally someone will come and pick them up, but that person doesn't need any magic doing because they were tough enough to get to them.
That's clever.
So they just have to be a stone.
That's clever. But then maybe we need to sort of create some kind of charitable system where someone who doesn't need them picks them up, but then can donate them to someone who accidentally burns themselves all the time on the oven. You know, like that would be a nice system.
I think that's a very good system. Mm. Could have it on, you know, the shopping channels on QVC going, here's a magical amulet. Because then you can pay it in installments, and that's a much better way of doing it than perhaps going on such a quest.
That'd be lovely. I'd love to see those presenters going, you know, and this gem makes you be able to see invisibility. Now only $5.99. Oh, but where's it gone? You know, like there could be a sort of lovely, yeah. It'd make those. I never watched that channel, and I would watch that channel a lot more, I think, if the items were.
Yeah, I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandma used to watch that a lot. So I think that's the main way I know how to buy things is through a shopping channel, or like catalogue. But no, they never had magical jewellery on, and I think that was a mistake. They never had animal armor.
Yeah.
All of the things you need, they didn't have on. They just had varying degrees of vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. I mean, what they need is like a magical shopping channel, but maybe it's only on at a very specific moment of the day, or like you need to look past the channel you're on, or need to look at the wall behind the television, and that's where it will be, or something.
Or like back projected to make it sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good.
I don't want everyone to know, but you can get, you know, discounted cauldrons. You can get like pre-warmed broomsticks. I'm thinking more about the witching hour now than I am wizards, but they're friends. I think they know each other.
I see. Isn't it the same? Because you don't really have a wizarding hour, do you? I think it's just one of those things where the witches got in there first with the naming stuff. I'm sure they'll share it. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I think that'd be nice.
Well, thank you for, you know, thank you for pointing that out. I now won't throw this arcane gem in the bin, but I might give it to someone who, I don't really know what it protects me from yet, but I'll find out and then I'll pass it on to someone that actually needs it, unless I need it. We'll see. Thank you for that. I've got another admin question for you, which this is very difficult, Katie, and I hope you're going to be okay with this. Just take your time with this. You know, I feel you know, feel free to kind of examine all the possibilities before you answer. Katie, would you rather every other day you were completely upside down, or that you had strange magnet powers that meant bears would fly towards you and get stuck to you from great distances?
I was so on board with the magnet powers until the bears.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a special bear magnet that means you could be walking along and you just say, "Rawr," and it would just be fly at you and be stuck to you.
So I do live in a city, and as far as I know, there's not any bears here. Mm. I think the nearest bear would probably be Twycross Zoo, which right. I live in Nottingham, so it would take... It takes a couple of hours to get there by bus, but when you think about the velocity a bear can fly at,
yeah,
could feasibly be, you know, once every hour. What happens once the bear comes to me? Does it then immediately get repelled?
No,
or
it's
is it just on me
it's
now?
Just
forever?
You just have a bear stuck to you.
Oh, but they're really cute. And I run quite cold. Like, even though we're coming into springtime, I've still got lots of blankets on the bed and a hot water bottle. So having a bear, I'm not so much thinking about the teeth and claws. I am thinking about the snuggling abilities, and it is unrivaled. There's a reason teddy bears are bears.
I think at first the bear would be dazed. So you probably wouldn't be attacked because it'd be quite dazed as to what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think over time, it would probably be, you know, quite like it's attached to you. It's probably going to have to become quite friendly to you once it realizes the situation. My concern would be, how would you ever eat honey again? It's only going to make the bear angry. You know, there's going to be, it might be quite hard to put a jacket on. I suppose you'll have a bear, so you won't need a jacket.
Yeah.
But also, how many bears are at Twycross Zoo? Because if you are quite a powerful bear magnet, you might have several flying at you at once. That can get quite heavy.
Ooh. And then I think my concern there is, do the bears get along? Because I don't want them to fight with me in the middle. But if they really like each other, then I'm just going to feel a bit awkward because the bears are going to be getting along. They've got far more in common.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, when you're trying to interject into a conversation and then everyone kind of goes quiet because you kind of ruined the vibe. And that would make me very nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. The social anxiety of the bears. Was the other option be upside down every other day?
It's every other day you'd be completely upside down. So I think, you know, personally, my issue with that would be you'd just be getting used to it and think this okay. But then the next day you'd be back to normal again. And then you'd sort of reset. Yeah. And then the next day you'd be upside down again. So you'd never quite get used to it, I think.
No, I've worked like day on, day off jobs before and it's not good for you.
No. You need a routine.
So will I be upside down as in my feet are on the ceiling, or will I just be walking on my hands the whole time? Because if it's walking on my hands, that means I don't need to go to the gym anymore because I'm going to get really big arm muscles.
Yeah.
And it would be massively inconvenient, but it would save me £20 a month. And I love a bargain.
That's true. But if you're completely upside down, it's not just when you're walking. It's also when you're sitting, when you're lying down. I don't really know how you could be upside down lying down. Would you have to lie down head first with your feet in the air?
Oh, like a headstand. I hadn't considered that at all. I'd more just considered curling up to sleep on my ceiling. Mm. That's another thing. I'd have to get another complete set of furniture to go on the ceiling.
And you'd have to only install it on the upside down days, otherwise it'd be really hard to put it there on the other days. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really... This question, it's a very important question. It hasn't really specified whether or not you are on the ceiling or you are walking on your hands. It just says completely upside down. So I don't know how you would... It's how you interpret
it. The really scary thing is, what happens if I go outside? Do I just shoot into space?
Oh, no.
Because it gets very hot and then very cold up there, and then you can't breathe. And
yeah,
I mean, maybe I could get, if I aimed it just right, I could go to the International Space Station if I had some, I don't know, spider armor on to keep me.
Yeah.
To keep me safe and protected from all of the things I could hit up there.
I mean, I think that what you may also need to consider is that if you, you're only upside down every other day, if you timed it right, because it takes quite a long time to get to space, you could be half the way up to space and then you flip the other way around and fall all the way back down again.
I mean, it would make getting into skydiving a lot cheaper.
Mm, that's true.
If I had it just as it turned midnight and I've got my little parachute on and I'm shooting up and then, have a lovely time.
Well, for a while, but then I think it would get quite exhausting every other day. Well, yeah. But is that better than bears being stuck to you?
There's a lot of flying through the air, whichever way you face it.
I think the thing, there are things like, there are obviously parts of the world where there aren't any bears. I mean, like Antarctica is just penguins, no bears. There's probably, and also there's things like koala bears that aren't actually bears. So actually you wouldn't get surrounded by koala bears because they're not really bears. So, you know, or red pandas, they're not bears. So it depends on...
I was just thinking about red pandas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which actually...
Those are the one bear I'd like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Actually, it's annoying because that would be quite lovely.
That'd be really lovely.
Red panda, but they're not bear. They're like raccoon-y type things. So
there's not... I had kind of thought of it as like a global reach kind of thing where, you know, I'll have the initial English bears and then occasionally there'll be one coming from Russia or America. And then finally the pandas come all the way from China. But by that point, there's already too many bears.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it means, it depends on how powerful the magnet is. And you could end up with this problem where you are just like a sort of walking bundle of global bears.
It'd be really hard to get through doors.
I think it'd be quite hard to do almost anything.
The quantity of sausages, it would drain my bank account having to keep all these bears fed.
Yeah. I wonder if people...
I want them to have a nice time.
I wonder if people pay to come and see the incredible, like, bear magnet, like, women. That would be quite a thing to come and see.
If I'm invulnerable to the bears, it could actually be very good for scientific research into bears, because the bears are stuck to me and they can't move. So that means you can observe their behaviour closed up. And admittedly, their behaviour is being stuck to a woman. But
it's not their natural behaviour because they're spending the whole time going, what is going on? Why am I stuck? Yeah. Oh, it's not an easy choice. I'm glad I don't have to make it. But you do have to, you know, it's part of the admin of the show. You absolutely do have to decide.
And I did agree that I would be okay with it questions. I think I'm gonna go with the I'm gonna go with the bear magnet.
Great.
On the condition that I am either the bears like me, or that I can wear some sort of armor. This is a ridiculous joke. Why am I doing this? The upside down one is objectively easier to live with. But I've just got the idea of bears in my head now.
I think it could be great. And I think once you got used to it, you'd work out how to use it best. And, you know, as I say, there are parts of the world you could go to. I think it would make it harder for bears to fly at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm
just imagining.
I was going to say that science-wise, if you've got magic powers to mean that you're a magnet for bears, there must be someone in the world who's got the powers to repel bears. And if you found each other, then maybe you could just hang out, and then no bears would. You'd have bears at a reasonable distance from both of you.
That could be quite a beautiful story. Yeah. That's an excellent film.
That's the.
If the person who repels bears really likes them but just can never make it work, and I'm like, oh, all these silly bears, it could be really nice.
I think that's a nice yeah, I think you've chosen well, actually. I think being upside down every day would probably be quite awful. I mean, they both
think I'd get a headache.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of having a little cuddle with a bear more than I like the idea of being upside down every day. So I think you've done very well. You've examined the evidence and the situation, and thank you, Katie, for answering the question. I think that was a wise choice.
Thank you.
Right, the big question, though, the important question, this has been sent in by Gloy5637$. I don't know if you heard them before.
Right. I think I'm a big fan of their work. They're a published poet, aren't they?
I believe so. Because I remember that Gloy5636$, I'm sure they were an interior decorator, but Gloy5637$, I think you're right. I think quite a world famous poet.
Yeah, very talented and artistic family. I love it.
Very the Gloy 563 family are, yes. There's actually a lot. I mean, there are 5,637 of them. Might even be 38 now, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of them. So it feels very nice that we've been asked this, that they've come to us, really, actually, for this question.
I think so, yeah. I'm excited.
Nice. Well, you should be. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. And it's not really a question, actually. It's sort of a statement. But I think we can kind of answer this as though it were a question. Gloy5637$, in typical poet sort of form, I suppose, has said, you should talk about why donuts have holes in them. So it's not a question. It's just you should talk about it. So we could just say, no, we shouldn't, and leave it there. And then they'll have to deal with that. But it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we should. I mean, do things look different when you look through them? It's something I've never thought of. But they could be like a doughy hagstone. You know, hagstones, the rocks, and they've got naturally occurring holes, and you're supposed to be able to see like magical hidden things through them. What if you could see things through a donut? You could see if things were secretly baked or not.
Wow. So you'd be able to spot things that were cake that don't look like cake.
Oh, you would win that show every time. They're not allowed donuts on set, you know, because it's cheating.
Because the people, they'll look through it and be like, ah, it's obviously cake. They're like a sort of special x-ray glasses, but just for baked goods.
Yeah. They're good when you're furniture shopping, because if you see a nice squishy sofa and you're like, oh, that looks lovely, and then you look through it through a donut and it's just profiteroles inside, and that's the reason it's squishy, but it doesn't last.
Wow. Is that why some donuts have icing on? Because it sort of then stick it to your head, like stick it round your eye.
Oh, wow. Hands free.
hands-free donut eyeglass. Yeah.
The best bit, so you can stick one to your eye and then have another donut in your hand and put it against it and like move it forward, and that zooms in like a telescope, because they've got both lenses.
That's incredible, a donut telescope. I mean, do you know what? It's funny because you say this. I've never put a donut up to my eye. I don't think I've ever looked through it. I'm too busy eating them normally. But I feel like this is a whole... This could revolution... In cinemas, instead of 3D glasses, they could just hand you a pair of donuts. And you can see all the special baked content in a film.
And that's because 3D glasses are normally made out of plastic, which, you know, stays around a long time. It's not good for the environment. Look through a donut, you can just eat it right afterwards. It's a perfect system.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to buy a new one each time.
Mm.
But I think that's worth it.
I think it's very worth it. It also very controversially kind of doesn't make those donuts that have got fillings seem very good. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of them? Because most donuts, I mean, most donuts, or the original donut, the proper donut for its real use as an eyeglass, has a hole in it so you look through it. But then there's all these filled donuts and it's like, well, they're useless.
Yeah, because you already... I'd only ever thought about it as a positive, like, oh, you're getting some jam or custard. But the trade of, would you like some jam or custard, but you won't be able to see the whole magical world? I don't think that's enough. It has to be really good jam to make it worth it. I can have jam whenever I want. It is one of the good things about being a grown-up is you can just have jam whenever you want.
You can have jam every day. Yeah. Yeah, you could just have jam 24 hours a day. Yeah. Which wouldn't help if you were, I should, just going back to the earlier, if you had lots of bears attached to you, you probably wouldn't want jam. I feel like that would make the situation worse. But otherwise, I think generally jam, whatever you like, is, we can do that, yeah.
I can't believe I didn't even consider Paddington in having bears stuck to me. Yes, 1,000 times yes. I would love to hang out with Paddington.
Yeah. It's a fair late entry for the bear reasoning. I like that. No, it's very, very good point. I was gonna say because, yeah, if donuts are eyeglasses, are bagels also eyeglasses?
Ooh, I think it's different. I haven't considered how the flavorings would impact. Because I feel like they must do. Like you get different glasses prescriptions, different. types of baked goods, they must have other properties. Bagels often have seeds on, so maybe they're really good for identifying different kinds of trees and plants and like wild flora.
Well, that's quite interesting. That's quite interesting. I suppose that bagels are savory normally. Are donuts for sweet goods and bagels for savory goods?
Yeah, and that way, if you had one of each, you could really get like the full range of the bakery spectrum.
Well, that's like back to the 3D glasses. Olden days, 3D glasses used to have one green lens and one red lens.
Yeah.
So now you can have one bagel lens and one donut lens, and you can really enjoy all the baked goods.
Yeah.
But it does call into question. There's quite a lot of other foods that have holes in. So I don't know what they're called around the rest of the world, but you know, hula hoops in the UK are little crisps.
Polos,
mint polos, olives that have had the stone taken out. Swiss cheese, it's got loads of holes in.
Does. Not so central. Maybe that's for seeing things in unusual ways.
Do you think it's like a kaleidoscope? Like,
oh yeah, if you look a little cheesy Swiss kaleidoscope.
Yeah, you see.
They're just a bit of fun, but they're ever so good.
Yeah.
What other foods have got holes in them?
Onion rings.
Yes.
What are those big cakes that are basically like a ring cake?
A bundt cake.
A bundt cake, that's it. That's a big eyeglass.
Very big eyelashes. You can put your whole face up to that.
Well, that must be like for looking into space, looking for baked goods in space or something. It must be like a...
Yeah.
A huge, like a Hubble telescope. But for
seeing what the aliens are making in their spaceships.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing what the Mars rover's eating.
Oh, poor Mars Rover. I always feel sad that the Mars Rover is just left on Mars and by themselves.
Yeah. I think it's still having a good time. Okay. It's still got the solar panels on, and I think maybe it's just gone, you know what, it's been working pretty solidly for years and years at a time. I think it just wants a holiday and it'll be back.
Okay, that's nice to know. That's nice to know. And I suppose in the meantime, you can check in and see if it's having a sandwich.
Yeah, with your big bunk cake. That is the next trick for the This Is Cake show, or Is This Cake show, is managing to disguise the donuts and the bagels and everything as real glasses.
Wow.
That is the next big hurdle of cake disguising online content.
You'd have to make really thin bagels, like really thin bagels, to be like the glasses frames.
Yeah.
And I suppose actually, no, that's a good thing for eyewear. As a bagel to or donut to eat, it would be really disappointing.
Yeah. It'd be like a hollow Pringle, you know, like that kind of thickness.
Yeah, it would be really. Yeah, you'd feel a bit hard done by, but I suppose you're not eating it, you're looking through it. I mean, this is the only problem I do have, is that if bagels and donuts and all that became, we really understood their powers as eyewear, then we wouldn't be able to eat them. I suppose, you know, I really like eating donuts, and I'd be really sad if everyone's like, you've taken away my prescription eyewear because I've had a nice donut.
Yeah. No, you couldn't just eat one you'd seen on the side, could you? Because no, I can't read.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Velma and Scoop. There was a donut sitting on a table, so therefore I could eat it. That's normally how it works. I think, I don't know if you find this case. If I see donuts laying about the place, I will. They're not. That
oh, yeah.
You can just eat them, right?
100%.
Yeah.
It would be bad for Velma in Scooby-Doo when she drops her glasses and she's like, oh, no, my glasses. And rather than the monster giving them to her, they just eat it because it's donuts. And then she's lost.
That's really terrible. Yeah, it's got some real downsides to it, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why you can't get them in opticians yet.
Yeah. Maybe this is why wizards keep all of their magical items away from the public, because it always seems to go down. Everything we're talking about. We've got, oh, this would be great. And then it would bring down bring upon the downfall of society or something like that. And you're like, oh, maybe these wizards have got it right, just keeping it safe in their towers.
It sounds very sensible to me, actually. I think, yeah, and I wonder if they are in their towers looking through bagels and donuts, you know, aware of how to use them. There are probably experts out there that have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
We're just not allowed to know because we'll ruin it.
We've accidentally stumbled upon something that we don't have the power or strength to control, you know.
It's quite sad, really. I wonder, you know, sort of a glowy $5.5637 dollar sign. Maybe, you know, we need just eat your donut.
Just be at peace with it. Like the circle of life, it's a circle of dough. And isn't it lovely to have a donut? I'm going to go buy a donut after we've recorded this. I want a donut now.
I'm going to be
so
honest, Katie,
bad.
My big problem is that we're still talking and all I want now is to eat some donuts. And I'm really enjoying talking to you, but now all I think about is I really could eat a donut and I'm quite hungry. And it's very hard to sort of think about how we get any further with this conversation when all I need to do is eat some donuts.
Yeah. That's why it got sad, because we just... both realized at the
got
same time
sad. Got very sad.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like even if there's an entirely other meaning, we can't get into it because we have to both go and buy donuts.
Yeah
Thanks, Gloy. 3, 5, 6, I can't remember exactly what the numbers were. Whichever Gloy you are, whichever of the family glory. But thank you, Katie. Thank you so much for answering the question as much as we could before we both got too hungry for donuts.
Yeah.
And thank you for answering all the admin questions too. And it's been so lovely having you on the show. Have you got much coming up? Are you knitting? I know you're going to knit some famous monuments. What's your kind of plans for the years, the decades ahead?
I want to knit gnomes. I've decided I want to do a Twitch stream online where I just knit a gnome from start to finish once a month. Wow. I think that would be lots of fun. And I think I might have to explore this, like knitting insect armor and using spiders. Because I'm always very nice to the spiders in my house, but really, they're living in my house and they should be paying rent. So if they could supply me with some spider silk, because I don't expect them to get a job. They can't work in Sainsbury's. They're too small. But yeah, I think that's something that I can really expand into and see how it goes.
Hey, listen, best of luck with that. And if you get the spiders to knit that armour, get in touch with me. We'll talk to the petting zoo. We'll get this animal armoured battle situation going. And then we'll televise it on Magical QVC.
I think that would be wonderful.
It'd be perfect. Thank you so much, Katie, and hopefully catch you soon.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Yes, I'm an egg.
Thanks so much to Katie Mitchell for having time to truly discuss what it would be like to have bears flying towards you and also answer Gloy5637$ sort of question. Gloy, if you aren't happy with your answer for your sort of question, please do put any complaints you have into the middle of a donut and then I'll eat it and I won't have to see it. If you have a question that you need to have answered, please do ask your fuss poopers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And if they fancy supporting the show, they can also sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition at Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or Patreon. And don't forget to check out the Bust or Trust, a kids mystery podcast too.
Hello, exciting times. How can I help you?
Oh, finally. Thanks for answering. That took ages.
Yes, sorry. We have to wait until we hatch in order to answer the calls.
You have to hatch? What?
Yes, from a big egg. How can I help?
Oh, hang on. What about the hatch? Anyway, look. Well, I made a big order of eggs, but instead I've been given an order of just one big egg.
Ah, yes. Well, you know how if you give a man a fish...
Yes, then he'll call it Fishbert Susan and keep it as a loving pet.
No, he will eat for a day.
Well, what if he doesn't like fish?
I don't know. Maybe somebody else will eat for a day. What I'm saying is if you teach that man to fish, then he'll eat for even more days, or something like that.
Oh, well, unless he doesn't like fish, because then he just won't eat any of the fish, and in fact, that's just a waste of time fishing.
Yes.
I suppose he could get a lot of pet fishes if he liked them as pets.
I suppose so. What I'm trying to say is that here at Exciting Times, we could have sent you a lot of eggs so you could eat eggs and play egg games for a day, but instead, we sent you away to have a constant supply of eggs instead.
How?
We've sent you your very own pterodactyl, which will lay loads of big eggs forevermore as long as you feed it properly.
What? Who's Terry Dactyl? Oh, hello. You must be Terry. Can I have some eggs, please, Terry?
They love to eat podcast hosts and Comedy Club for Kids HQ buildings. Bye. Have an excellent day.
What? What do you mean Terry loves to eat Comedy Club for Kids HQ buildings? Ah, don't eat the walls. That is not on Terry. Come on, Terry. Don't try and eat me. Ugh, I need to get out of here. This is extreme. What exceptionally bad service. Bye.
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense. Radio nonsense.
Radio nonsense.
Radio nonsense.
Radio nonsense.
It's the end.